I've just realized after listening back to a few of our latest episodes that we never introduce ourselves. We're never like, oh, hey, I'm Jasha, I'm Micah, this is Podzilla, the podcast where we watch Godzilla movies and talk about them. We probably Everybody else does it. If someone starts listening to our podcast, they're not going to know who we are. They're just going to listen to two voices that sound kind of the same because we're brothers.
I've been watching a few YouTubers and podcasts who have this problem as well. And I think it's almost better not to introduce yourselves.
All right.
Because they just have to get good enough and watch or listen enough to know who you are.
Okay, so it's kind of like a little hook that hooks them in. Yeah. And then, I need to know who they are. I need to learn their voices.
That's when you know when you're into the podcast. Because okay. You can tell, hey, whoa, that Jasha, that was a funny joke by him. Let me add him on Twitter.
Okay, no, I'm all for that. So,
but anyway, let's do it this time. Guys, I am Jasha.
And yeah, I am Micah. We talk about Godzilla movies.
I've done this bit before, haven't I?
Probably.
I'm Micah.
And I'm Jasha. You already know who we are if you're listening to this. We usually watch Godzilla movies, Godzilla adjacent movies, and then talk about them, share some behind the scenes info, give our thoughts on the movies. But we're doing something a little bit different in the lead up to our second season.
That's right. I love how we have a season break and a, what, 6-8 week gap?
I think like a 6 week gap or
and
something.
And still have regular episodes.
Yeah, well, it's a little secret, but we're recording all these before our break, pretty much. And we're going to be releasing them within the break. So it's going to be seamless episodes every bye week into the next season. But we put out a little bit of a feedback form a little while ago, just asking you guys what you like about the show, what you'd be interested in. And a lot of you said that you'd love to hear episodes that aren't specifically on movies, whether they be episodes breaking down a specific monster or something else that's not even a movie, maybe a book or maybe a video game.
Godzilla Book Club!
So, yeah, we'll see about those ones. But we thought it'd be fun to do a little bit of a ranking. Talk about our favorite monsters, our favorite kaiju that we've covered on the show so far. We're calling this Rank All Monsters.
Rank All Monsters, Jasha.
Even though it's not all of the monsters, only the ones we've covered so far.
Yeah, so any kaiju that off the top of your head you can think of, that will be in here that we've seen.
Yeah.
We have separated the chaff, so to speak. We've cut out some of the smaller... the smaller things which are technically classed by Toho as quote-unquote kaiju.
Yeah, well, we've kept most of the kaiju in there. We've even kept most of the kaijin, most of just the random monsters in the movies. What we've taken out is the random things like if you watch Latitude Zero along with us or listen to the episode, there is a lion that's a bit bigger than normal that gets turned into a griffin later down the track. There's a condor that gets his wings taken off. We don't care about that lion and that condor. They're not going to be in this. But we've got some surprises and some very minimal monsters that I'm guessing are going to be very low on each of our rankings.
Yeah. So how this is going to work, me and Jay should have our separate lists full of 36 monsters each.
Yeah, I've got 36 monsters.
We're going to go from the bottom, from 36, and name each of them. And I believe we're going to focus on and talk about whatever it is I say?
Yeah. We weren't too sure on how to best do this, whether we did a tier list or whether we both like just decide on the rankings together. But I think those things will work best probably in a visual format. Mm. We don't really have a visual format. We're doing this audio only. So we've both got separate lists. We'll both discuss our separate lists as we go on, but we're only really going to be talking about mainly and focusing on the most on your chosen monster for that number.
Yeah, that's right. But,
yeah, we've both got different lists. I'm very interested to see if any of these kind of match up, like we've got the same ones for any of our numbers, because there's so many of them.
I think the bottom ones and maybe like the top five will be pretty similar.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Who knows about the middle?
There might be some surprises. There might be some surprises.
First off on Jasha's list, Godzilla. He hates him.
36th monster. The worst monster, Godzilla.
Yeah. I'm glad we can all agree on it.
Yeah. Should I start first?
Yeah, let me hear it.
I'll just mention mine and then we can talk about yours. But number 36, the bottom of my ranking of the monsters we've touched on so far, I've got Giant Lizard.
Okay, giant lizard is the same
for giant me. Lizard's the same for you.
So appearing in, I can't even remember. This wasn't one of the Mothra movies, was it?
No, it's Godzilla versus King Kong.
King Kong versus Godzilla?
Yeah.
King Kong versus Godzilla. This was one of the ones that showed up literally as the human characters are just walking across the trail. You see, it's not even a giant lizard. And I think I brought it up. I hated that this is classed as a kaiju, as a monster.
Micah, there's official merchandise of the giant lizard. It's a big lizard.
It's a big lizard. It looks like a Tuatara.
But like bigger, you know.
It's in frame for like 3 seconds.
It's like a meter long. That's a giant lizard.
It's not a meter long. If you scrubbed back in that scene. Okay, Dasha. Why is he the least liked for you?
I mean, I agree with you. He's hardly a monster. He's a bit of a bigger lizard. He's in it very briefly. We hardly see him. And all I can remember about him, I don't know why, but we watched King Kong versus Godzilla, the Japanese version. Then we watched the English version. And straight before the giant lizard part in the English Americanization, they're talking about foot corn. Do you remember this?
I remember foot corn.
He's like complaining about that he has foot corn.
He has foot corn.
The guy that gets attacked by the lizard. And then those two things are just so wrapped up in my mind that I can't think about the giant lizard without thinking about foot corn. And I just don't like it.
That's absolutely fair. What was foot corn again? Real quick.
I don't know. Is it like calluses on your foot? We don't need to talk about this.
Yep, corn's on your foot. Great start. Okay, what's 35 for you?
35, I've got something that's very similar to the giant lizard. I've got the giant boar.
Exactly the same.
Same for you?
Yeah.
So this is a giant boar that is briefly seen once again, like a couple seconds, in Frankenstein Conquers the World.
I think it's a bit longer because they do have a fight scene.
Yeah.
A miniature boar against a few tanks.
Yeah.
The Japanese army.
Yeah, real briefly. And you see it kind of like, it's an animatronic, so it's kind of like moving its legs.
Yeah.
That's all I can remember of it. That's why he's so low.
I think these ones are low just because I hate how Toho ranks slightly large monsters as monsters.
Well, it was a boar the size of a tank.
Okay.
I mean,
okay.
That's pretty cool in its own right. If Toho made a movie, Giant Boar.
That would be pretty cool.
Attack of the Giant Boar. And it's about, like, set back in, like, World War II.
Jason, this is your fan film you can make.
A random battalion, just like, four guys in a tank get lost.
I can see it now, yeah.
And go up against this giant boar that's the size of the tank. Imagine, but no. That's not what we get. That's why he's so low for me. All right. 34. Who do you have?
Vampire plant.
Okay, this is where we start to differ. I have the giant condor, or Okondoru. We'll talk about him a bit later on.
Okay, so vampire plant. This is the one on Infant Island.
Yes, in Mothra.
In the original Mothra movie.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is the puppet of the just tendrils coming down and attacking somebody from in the middle of the forest.
Yeah, purple tendrils that attack our protagonist and apparently like suck the life out of him or put him to sleep.
Apparently.
Yeah.
It doesn't get that far. Which is a bit disappointing.
Yeah. I mean, there's not much to say about this. I think he's just up a tiny bit higher for me just because the idea of a vampire plant's pretty cool.
He's original.
Yeah.
More original than a giant lizard.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. 33 then.
33. I'm guessing ours are probably going to be different again, but I have the Batman from Latitude Zero.
They're close. I've got the giant rats next.
Okay.
Our Latitude Zero picks.
Latitude Zero as well. What do you like about the giant rats?
So, again, I don't like them just because they're giant animals.
Yeah.
But they're at least creative in the fact that they have a little bit of a backstory behind them. We have our nefarious doctor, whose name escapes me.
Malik.
Dr. Malik, ooh. Mm-hmm. Who's doing genetic tests on all of the animals on this island. That's how the griffin is created. He starts by, I think it's with the Batman as well, just genetically modifying things.
Yeah.
And this is the offspring of that idea. And there is a little bit of a fight scene between the humans and them, but they are defeated in the end by walking into a lake of acid.
I don't know if I mentioned this last time, but they're literally like lemmings. Like, they all just follow each other into the lake of acid.
They didn't need to.
And that's how they all die.
They just did.
I like them a bit more than you. I think just because I had rats growing up. We had pit rats. I don't know if we've talked about this before.
We had pit mice and pit rats.
We had pit mice, yeah. And then a couple of years later, we had pit rats. We had a rat each. And I really liked my pit rat.
Amelia?
Amelia. Oh. Because we were into Doctor Who at the time.
That's right.
And I really liked Amy Pond. So I named my rat Amelia.
What was that song you... Come on, you know the song.
Did I sing a song about my rat when I was... I must have been like 5 years old.
You were like 10.
I must have been like 5 years old. Anyway, I've always liked rats. And you know, I'm a big fan of The Princess Bride. Those have the rats unusual... What are they called?
They've got that acronym name, don't they?
Yeah, rats of unusually large size or something.
I'm sorry, all of you 40-year-olds who really love The Princess Bride.
Yeah, I'm letting the Princess Bride fan base down right now. But yeah, I kind of like the giant rats.
Yeah, I feel you. 32, next up.
There I have the vampire plant. So again, not very high.
Yeah, and there I've got the Batman.
Okay. So the Batman, there's not much to say about them either. We talked about them a little bit more in depth when we talked about Latitude Zero, but they don't look that great.
No, I wanted to find another picture, but if you search up Batman, it just comes up Batman.
Yeah, we've got a picture of them on our Instagram, I think. Yeah, they're humans that have been turned into bats, or bats that have been turned into humans. I don't really know what Malick did to them, but they just look odd. You said before that their faces look too human and not enough bat.
Yeah, and well, the bottom half of their face is bat.
Yeah.
The top half is hairy human.
Yeah.
But it's just the nose. It's like, the bat's nose is where a human mouth should be.
Yeah.
And I can't unsee just how weird it looks. Like, it shouldn't be a thing. I'm convinced that Malick just cut off the bottom half of a human's face.
Yeah. But they do their purpose in the movie. They just act as Malick's henchmen.
They're goons.
I learned afterwards that I think there were only three people in the Batman costumes, and yet... they made it look like there was five or six of them in one of the fight sequences in Latitude Zero. So it was a bit of like...
Movie magic
there. But yeah, they're nothing special. Are we up to 31?
31.
For 31, I put the little snowman from Half Human.
Ooh. I put the giant sea serpent.
From King Kong Escapes.
From King Kong Escapes.
Wow. All right. Well, not to spoil anything, but my next one, number 30, is the giant sea serpent.
Gotcha.
This is
a pretty cool looking kaiju, especially if you look at the prop for it that they had on set. It looks really, really cool.
Mm.
It's so low because of the fact that it's unnamed and just randomly shows up in the movie, serves its purpose, and then strangles King Kong.
Yeah. He's just a rip-off Manda, pretty much.
Yeah.
Is in it for, again, a couple of seconds. I kind of like, because we still haven't seen the King Kong movie. We'll try and change that soon. But we haven't seen the original King Kong movie, and apparently there's a dinosaur in that, which they based Gorosaurus off.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a sea serpent, which they based this giant sea serpent off.
So this does have roots back to the original movie as well.
Yeah, so it's just kind of like a nice homage to... the original King Kong. But again, it's weird because we've had giant lizard, we've had giant boar, we've got Okondoroo, the giant condor, and this is giant sea serpent, but it's not like it's a big sea, I guess, like, it's not like there's normal sea serpents we've seen and this is a giant one.
this is actually a small sea serpent.
Yeah. So, no creativity, but
I wish they gave it a name. They gave Gorosaurus a name.
Yeah.
If they gave this guy a name, he'd be up like five spaces. 30.
My 30 was giant sea serpent. What was yours?
The griffin.
The griffin? Is that low on your list? Really?
So this is the first one that's actually like a kaiju, I'd say.
Yeah.
A pretty cool monster. I like the idea of the griffin creatively. How you have a mishmash of these different animal parts and you inject basically a human mind or soul into it.
Yeah.
So it's a human thinking in the body of a kaiju. Led down by the fact that it's probably the kaiju that does the least in the whole Godzilla franchise so far.
Yeah.
Even with giant sea serpent, you have a little bit of combat at least.
Yeah.
But the griffin just stands on a cliff most of the movie, dives down, attacks Dr. Malick's ship.
Yeah.
That's it.
You're right. There's no memorable, like, action scenes or nice like kaiju, like even like suit moments with it. But I kind of appreciated how the Griffin worked in the plot, because Malik's, his whole plan is, I'll just set this Griffin with the mind of a human after the people I want to kill.
Mm.
But he was never that nice to the human or the lady whose mind is in the Griffin when she was alive, and she doesn't want to listen to him. She just disobeys him, yeah. And she just flies up onto a mountain and just watches the whole thing out.
And fair enough, honestly.
And it's kind of a cool little twist at the end to have her stop sitting out of the fight, and then instead of attacking the heroes in the story, she goes after Malik.
Yeah.
And I kind of like that little twist.
It's
on
a nice little dynamic, eh?
Yeah, but you're right. It could have been a lot more the Griffin could have done. But who knows? Those Godzilla anime prequel novels, the Griffin might have some great scenes in there.
We'll read those one day.
We'll do an episode on Griffin's parts in the anime prequel novels.
Not the novels themselves, just the Griffin's parts.
Yeah.
All right, what's up on number 29 for you?
Okay, this is going to be divisive.
Oh, is it the same one?
This is going to be divisive. For 29, I put Skeleturtle.
Skeleturtle, same as me.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't want to... Oh, what's the word? I wanted to be honest and truthful to myself and not pander to our audience. I know you guys love Skeleturtle, and I do too.
You... He's like the only guy I hear you talk about, Micah. Skeleturtle is Skeleturtle that.
If I'm bringing down my facade, he is not a kaiju. He's inanimate bone.
What's his other name?
The mystery bones of Infant Island.
Yeah.
It's not even a thing.
It is alive, though. It is moving. It does blink.
It's not. It's not.
And it is a bit bigger than your average turtle.
Yeah. Okay. So is everything on Infant Island, though.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. What else is there to say about Skeleturtle? He's in one scene. The legends about him have kind of built him up.
Yeah.
Made him be as high as he is in my list, at least.
Why is he higher than everything else for you?
Because everything else before this sucks. Skeleturtle has a cool kind of persona around him, you know?
I will say, if I had to get like an action figure of anybody on this list, Skeleturtle would be up there.
Yeah.
I'd love to get a little action
figure. He's somehow more memorable than everything else.
Yeah.
And all he does is wink. 28, I had giant rats for my 28, which you've already talked about.
Mm, and I had Okontodu there.
Okay.
So showing up in Ebera, Horror of the Deep. These are, they're not even that giant, are they?
It's a big condor.
Slightly bigger condors. Multiple?
I think there's just one, there's just one.
Oh, you're right, there is the one.
Yep.
Just the one who attacks Godzilla for like a minute, 2 minutes.
Flies up to Godzilla, pecks his face a bunch, then gets atomic breathed into the water.
Yeah. I like it because this is kind of separate from the Okondoro.
Yeah.
But I love how whenever they need something in a Godzilla movie, they're like, you know what, let's bring in the condor again. We've got a condor suit, bring it in. They did that for this, they did that for Latitude Zero. I'm sure they did it for at least one other one.
Yeah, the giant condor or a kondoru comes back in All Monsters Attack. However, I'm very suspicious that might just be footage from Ebera, Horror of the Deep.
So. Probably is.
Yeah, there's not much to say about him. However, you know, he at least has a cool name he's referred to by.
A kondoru,
which I think just means giant condor in Japanese, but at least he's got a name.
He's got a name.
You know?
All right. Number 27.
So this is where we probably differentiate quite a bit again, but I have Frankenstein for my number 27.
Huh.
From Frankenstein Conquers the World.
I'm actually surprised quite a few aren't before him for you.
All right. Mm. Interesting. Who did you have for your 27?
Here I've got Little Snowman.
Okay.
From the half-human movie, as well as the American remake where they have extra scenes of this little, smaller, abominable snowman.
His dead body.
on an autopsy table.
Yeah.
I like the fact that they have, apart from Manila, best boy Manila.
Yeah. Number one on both our lists, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
As like the smaller son or child kaiju.
Yeah.
Little Snowman was the first.
He was.
Yeah.
He was a trailblazer in kaiju history.
Yeah, absolutely. I like the fact that he served the purpose of being somebody that this kaiju wanted to protect.
Yeah.
You don't really see that too much, even with Manila.
Yeah.
Godzilla hates Manila.
Yeah.
But Snowman loves little Snowman.
The bond between... The father-son bond is very evident in Half-Human. And you see it... It's the breaking point for the proper Snowman when little Snowman dies. Little Snowman's that catalyst in the story that propels the plot forward.
That's right. Hero's journey.
Can you say that for any of the other ones we've talked about? Like, would the Half-Human story exist without little Snowman, you know?
Was he the one who was taken away in the cage by the circus troupe?
I really cannot remember. Blocked Half-Human from my memory.
It's one of them.
Little Snowman gets captured and Snowman comes to free him and then gets captured as well. Or
vice versa.
Snowman's captured, little Snowman comes to free him. But it's interchangeable. They both care about each other and would do that for each other. You know?
He's just the one who dies first.
Yeah, yeah.
Was he technically the first... No, sorry. I was going to say first kaiju that died, but then I forgot the original Godzilla movie.
Yeah. Which is probably sad as well that there's so many kaiju of the same species. Like, there's been who knows how many Mothras in the movies we've seen, or Godzillas. We're just talking about, like, the all of them up in one. Like, if we're talking about Mothra, we're talking about all the Mothras, the character of Mothra. But, yeah, 26 is another one that I'm probably going to differentiate a bit from you, but I had King Kong for my 26th. King Kong's very, very low.
I'll actually interject here real quick. King Kong's a little bit higher for me. I put down Sander.
Oh!
From War of the Gargantuans.
You got it.
That's the one.
Yeah.
And Sander was actually the good kaiju. Yeah. The good brother in that movie. Brother Tagara.
Mm-hmm.
Which order are they in your list?
Should I just stuff this up a little bit right now? Because I've got a good run on for the next four.
Okay.
I find all these, the four similar in my mind. For 26, I've got King Kong, who I like more in other things I've seen that aren't Toho productions. Toho King Kong sucks.
Agreed.
And then I've got Snowman for 25. They're both monkeys.
And then you've got Sander and Gaara.
And then I've got Sander, then Gaara.
Yeah, okay. No, I was going to put them all together because I do agree.
Yeah.
It was a bit of a lull in all these movies where you have these, you know, these great kaiju, but they're all just powerful humanoids.
Kind of powerful humanoid, ape-like creatures.
Mm.
And I agree with you. Sander's kind of, again, doesn't have much personality. Doesn't look that cool.
Yeah, I hate how Sander looks.
Yeah.
He's a brown one.
Yeah, he's still very humanoid. Like, they didn't do much to make him look like a monster, which I guess might be what that movie's trying to do, to make you kind of humanize with the gargantuas a little bit. They're both human-like, but...
You have this whole storyline where, and I didn't even realize it really while watching it, but you had Frankenstein, who died after fighting with Baragon and escaped into the water.
Yeah.
And then the next movie starts with Sander doing the exact same stuff as Frankenstein did.
Yeah.
So one, he's practically a rehash of what we've already seen.
It's Gargantuas comes off as a remake of Frankenstein, with Sander filling that Frankenstein role.
So one, he's something we've already seen.
Yeah.
He's just a kaiju who likes humans and doesn't want to hurt them.
Yeah.
And I don't know, Gaara is just the better brother.
Yeah, I agree with you. And he looks cooler. He's more monstrous. He's got that kind of swampy underwater look to him.
Yeah. We'll get back to him in just a sec. Yeah. Who was 25 for you then?
So 25 was Snowman for me.
Snowman, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Guess who I put?
Who?
Jason, this is your kaiju that you looked after.
Wait, you put Maguma this low on the list?
I put Maguma.
Flip me. All right.
Everybody's favorite walrus kaiju from... What was the name? It started with an M.
I'm not going to help you with these movie names.
I see in my mind's eye, it's just like a slideshow of Matango, Mogira. And I know this...
It's Gorath. It's not an M.
In a really cool movie... Like, I actually like this movie quite a lot.
Mm.
This is just a filler kaiju. I kind of... Like, he's so stupid. He's such a stupid kaiju. But I somewhat like him for the fact that they just chucked a random walrus in this movie.
Yeah, totally. And I think we talked about it in the episode, but Ashira Honda initially didn't want Maguma in the movie, and it was kind of put in there just to have some sort of action.
Why in your right mind would you sit down and think, okay, we need to spice this movie up, you know? It's boring at the moment. Mr. Honda himself, Ashira, is telling us that we need to spice it up by adding the coolest kaiju everybody's ever seen.
Yeah.
Gonna draw them into this movie. Let's put a walrus in there.
Well, it's the Antarctic, you know?
They didn't have to have a scene in the Antarctic, though, did they?
I don't know. They had a factory there or something.
Give me 3 seconds and I could give you a better Arctic kaiju.
Okay.
Giant snow leopard.
Better than a giant walrus? Really?
Giant polar bear.
That would be pretty cool.
That would be very cool. Giant ice snake.
All right, yeah.
Toho hit me up.
Okay, yeah, you're right there. But I think his design is, he's just a giant walrus. There's nothing special about him. But I kind of like him a bit more just for the fact that even though he's just haphazardly thrown into the plot of Gorath,
yeah,
I kind of like how you're just following these people trying to stop the star from destroying Earth.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, they disrupt this kaiju's home. And this kaiju just gets angry at them, goes on a rampage. They're heating up his home. He doesn't want this to happen. He's fighting for his life, and he gets killed. It kind of does a little bit of world building that there are these random kaiju all around the world, and they can just pop up at any moment, which is kind of cool. He does look a bit stupid, but I mean, he's a giant walrus. That's unique.
What's his screen time? Do you know? Was it less than a minute?
Yeah, probably.
It's like 5 minutes tops.
Yeah. He's memorable. I don't know if that's because I was looking after him in an online role-playing page or just because he's a giant walrus and he's kind of unforgettable, but I didn't mind the guy.
Okay, okay.
Bring him back.
Bring him back.
Yeah, bring him back.
I want him to, because he's not in any of the games, is he?
Don't think so.
Dude, bring freaking... I've already forgotten his name.
All right, let's just go on. 24, what was your 24?
Gyra.
Okay, mine was Sander.
Okay, so we're getting into these guys. Gyra more, I think I like him a bit more because he's spices up the flavor. He's the Cain to Sander's Abel.
Yeah.
Also like the idea of you just have this offspring kaiju taken from some regrown flesh that's been left in a pool, and his whole persona has been almost evolutionarily modified by the environment that he grew up in.
Yeah.
On such a grand scale, where you have Sander, who's the brown one, and Gyra, who's this aquatic kaiju.
Literally looks like he's just got seaweed, like, stuck all over him.
It's a giant swamp man.
Yeah, it is really cool. I really like these kaiju that look really specific to the areas that they're in.
Mm.
Like, I really love it when you just see different areas, whether it be a forest, whether it be underwater, whether it be the snow, like Maguma, that have these kaiju that very much match it. Like, that's their element.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he's cool. Like, Sander didn't really have an element. He's brown. He's furry. He lives in the mountains.
You're right. It gives him a bit more... it adds to their persona when it's like they're the guardian of this territory.
Yeah.
I understand his viewpoint. The whole movie's about the struggle because he's wanting to eat the humans.
Mm.
And Sander doesn't. But come on. Gyra's a kaiju, man.
Yeah.
Let him eat who he wants to eat.
Yeah. He's a monster. Let him do it. And again, this, I put Gyra above, Gyra's my 23rd, which will be the next one, but I put Gyra above Sander, above the snowman, above King Kong, above Frankenstein. Every other like huge humanoid kind of ape-like creature is just a little bit boring to me, but Gyra's just something else. And it's real cool just to have this actually pretty scary monster walking around eating people. Not thinking, like, the whole plot of the story is that's what he thinks he should do. He's a monster. He needs to eat people. And then it's about his brother trying to be like, no, you don't need to do that.
Yeah.
Trying to save him. Out of all these guys, he's an actual monstrous beast.
Yeah.
Who looks really great. Fits the part.
And you feel that about him. He's scary. Yeah. He's a kaiju.
Yeah.
Also, really cool fight with him where he just goes unhinged at the very end.
Yeah.
Nothing can stop him.
Yeah. Good, like, suit scenes in that movie.
And he also comes back in Go God Man as well.
Looking forward to that. Looking forward to that.
Where are we
up to? 23rd. Mine was Gyra.
Varan.
Varan.
So we've seen him recently in...
Oh, gosh.
Oh, my goodness.
These ensemble movies. It's not All Monsters Attack.
No.
It's Battle of the Beasts.
Yes.
Yep. Battle of the Beasts.
What is it?
Destroy your monsters.
No monsters were destroyed. I stand by that.
Jadora was destroyed. The fire dragon was destroyed.
I think they did a really cool thing with Varan. I think his design is actually really cool.
Yeah.
In his movie, he kind of serves the same purpose as Godzilla. Mm. He comes out of the water and then he's just a giant for them to fight.
Yeah.
I think they gave him a real cool ability with the ability to fly while not being a bird.
Yeah. Yeah. He's not a bird. He's not a moth. He's kind of this hybrid flying lizard dragon. He's really cool. He looks cool.
And also one of the smarter ways that they defeat him as well. I mean, I'll show Jasher a picture. Look at this guy.
That's Varan and Destroy Our Monsters. Yeah. Look at him.
Destroy. Oh, come on.
I just saw him more looking at your phone screen than I did in Destroy Our Monsters. I like him. I like him quite a bit. And I think it's just because of how creatively he's used within his original movie, which I didn't like that much. But the whole fact that there's this tribe that are very much scared of him. There's this whole...
He's
idolized and called... Is he called Baradagi or something?
Yeah, Baradagi.
Yeah, and they've got this like whole mythos around Varan and the monster at the bottom of the lake.
Don't go to this lake because he will attack you.
Yeah, this whole mythos and just legend in this village that make him seem like a very legendary creature. And even just the way that they defeat him at the end of Varan by seeing his tendency to attack things that are moving or to attack small objects. So they come up with the ingenious idea, to shoot flares at him because he will just eat them and pounce at them.
Yeah.
It's quite cool.
And destroy him from the inside out.
Yeah, yeah. So I think just how he's used in his movie makes me like him a little bit more.
It's just a real letdown that they never go back to that.
Yeah, and we never see him again. But he's kind of a cool little hybrid mix of a few of Toho's kaiju.
Yeah. 22.
22, I have Griffin, who we've already talked about.
Mm-hmm. And I've got Frankenstein up there.
Okay.
Above his two offspring.
Yeah, so you actually like Frankenstein more than both Gaira and Xander.
Yeah, those two are kind of like the knockoff, the afterthought. Frank is the ode.
Frank. We're calling Frankenstein Frank from now on. Yeah.
Frank is the OG. His design isn't great. He's a guy. He's a kid. A giant kid, right?
Yeah, well, we see him as a kid. And we see him grow up. So I think he's a young adult for majority of Frankenstein Conquers the World. But he's just this wild little kid that's grown up not really knowing much of the world. He's just been treated on as a test subject his whole life.
Yeah. He's probably one of my least favorite visually, but his abilities and his role in the movie, it's almost a better King Kong than King Kong. A better King Kong than King Kong to me.
Yeah.
And the ability, how did he grow? Is that just something that happened normally?
Yeah, I can't remember again. I think he's just, at one point in the movie, he starts growing very fast.
Yeah. That and the fact that they start chopping off his limbs and they grow back. Yeah. On the loose. Yep. I think it's just a really cool idea to have for somebody.
Cool changes to like this classic movie monster. Like he looks different enough to Universal Monsters Frankenstein. He has that regrowing ability that's real cool.
What was his origin again? It was like the heart of the original...
The heart of the original Frankenstein was left in Hiroshima when the bomb went off or something?
And it became nuclear and they gave it to a boy.
Did the heart grow into the boy?
I don't know, but it was wild.
Crazy. What a wild story.
So out there, it was likable.
I think the reason I have him a bit lower than you is just because in the original Frankenstein, Universal Monsters movie, I really like how they show Frankenstein's humanity in that. Mm. How he's very curious, how he gets happy when he sees this little girl and like gives her a flower, just experiencing the world for the first time, and then accidentally kills her when he throws her into the water, like he threw a flower into the water, and gets actually real upset about it. You don't really see that kind of humanity shine through with Toho's version.
Yeah, like compared to everything else, he is the most human kaiju.
Yeah.
But in the grand scheme of things, you can go a lot more in that direction.
Yeah. He's just like a big old Neanderthal, really.
Yeah. Who is really big.
Really big.
Really, really big on Neanderthal. Yeah. Okay, Jasha. 21.
I had Varan.
I had Snowman.
Snowman.
Be Snowman.
So I put Snowman again, a bit higher than King Kong on my list. We're just getting to him now on yours. So you liked him more than Gyra, Sander, Frankenstein?
Yeah, well, I think...
Which is funny, because Half Human we both didn't like.
Yeah, we hated this movie. Like, this and its American remake are, I believe, the bottom two.
Yeah.
Of my entire list of rankings so far that you can find on Letterboxd.
Yeah.
I think there's just something special about the fact that he was the first, and they showcased him in that movie with such a great sense of horror.
Yeah.
Like, the first scene with him in, or one of the first scenes where we really get to see who he is when he just starts putting his hand up on these explorers' tents and starts peering in the middle of the night.
He's walking through this camp in the middle of the night and you just see glimpses of his hand reaching through the tent flap, or his face and silhouetted against, like, yeah, the tent. You see his outline and silhouette. Mm. It's scarier than Kong has ever been in these Toho movies.
Yeah.
He's a threat. He's this kaiju. Not that he's, like, a massive kaiju, but he's this monster that actually, like, if you... Any of these guys would be terrified of if you saw them. But this dude would freak you out if you're like, wake up, you're camping, you wake up, you see his face like peering through the tent flap. He's just...
It's freaky.
There's something about him that I really
I think it's helped by the fact that this came out so soon after the original Godzilla that Toho is still treating these monsters, these kaiju, like they are scary things.
Yeah.
I mean, you remember how crazy horrific the first Godzilla was.
Yeah.
They brought some of that essence in when going in with this movie.
Yeah.
And it shows.
Yeah, big time.
As well as the scenes where I can't remember any of the characters' names in that anymore. But one of the characters gets strung upside down on the rope overhanging a cliff.
Yeah, that's Akira Takarada, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. The snowman comes along and you can see him like grappling whether to save this dude or not. And he begrudgingly does it.
Mm.
His purpose in that movie as a really de-evolutionized human.
Yeah.
Because that's what he is. That's what they refer to him as.
Yeah. What was it? The whole reason it's called half human is because he's got like half the brain tendencies of a human and half the brain tendencies of a beast. Yeah.
I think they juggle that so, so well.
That's kind of what Frankenstein should have been like, you know? You do see the snowman's humanity, especially when it comes to his relationship with his kid.
Yeah.
And with him seeing, hey, that guy's in trouble, I'm actually going to save him.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the whole plot of the movie, this is back when Ishiro Honda's trying to weave these real full-on messages and themes throughout his stories.
Yeah. Real and relevant to the times.
Yeah. I remember Half Human very much being about, like, environment and us as humans kind of destroying the environment or changing things that we shouldn't.
Yeah.
Because the whole plot's kind of, the snowman's just minding his own business, living with his kid, and then poachers go out to get him for their circus.
Humanity comes in and interrupts that lifestyle.
Yeah, we interrupt that, and ultimately it causes the death of the little snowman and the snowman. And that's all our fault as humans, or some of what the human characters in the movie were doing. And yeah, I love those ideas way more than I love the movie.
Yeah.
And I love Snowman way more than I love the movie, but... Yeah, I think he's all right. He's pretty cool.
By far the highlight of the film.
Yeah.
And I love the pictures, the promotional photos of him and Godzilla.
Yeah.
I just do.
I love the posters of him looking like 100 times his actual size that he is in the movie.
Yep.
Are we up to 20?
Yeah.
Number 20, you were going to hate me for this. Ibra, Horror of the Deep.
Jaysha!
He is just a giant lobster. We'll get into more of that soon.
He's got different claws, man. Now, I put... I don't know. You might hate me for this. Gorosaurus.
Nah, it's fair enough.
Oh, he's next soon after, isn't he?
He might be. But yeah, Gorosaurus from King Kong Escapes was one of the more prominent kaiju in Destroy All Monsters.
More prominent than Varan, Baragon, and...
Manda.
And Manda.
Yep.
Kumonga wasn't in their final fight, was he?
Yeah, he was.
Never mind.
But Gorosaurus is your number 20.
Yeah. On one hand, I don't like him because he is essentially a giant dinosaur, just a giant T-Rex. That is evened out by the fact that they give him a name, they personify him and create and make him more of a character, especially in Destroy All Monsters.
Yeah.
I don't know if he comes up at all again in the future.
I think again he's in All Monsters Attack, but that might just be reused footage.
Yep, absolutely it is. But this Destroy Monsters, it just redeemed this kaiju who otherwise was just, you know, a dinosaur.
Because he's in it real briefly, and he's in King Kong Escapes real briefly, like almost as briefly as a giant sea serpent.
Yeah, he comes along, fights King Kong by throwing a couple punches and then doing one signature tail move.
No, not a signature tail move, signature kick.
Yeah. That's the one.
He's got Gorosaurus's kangaroo kick.
Is that what it's called?
Yep, that's his signature move.
The fact that they bring that back in Destroy All Monsters, it's just like, it kind of solidifies it, you know? It's like, oh, yeah, Gorosaurus, he's a classic now.
Yeah. Again, he's just a big old dinosaur, but they kind of, I don't know, it's kind of cool to just have a normal dinosaur in this world of monsters that Toa are creating. Like, we've got Godzilla, but he's got atomic breath. He's almost more god than monster in some instances. And in Gorosaurus, we do just have this pretty cool-looking dinosaur with his signature moves, you know?
Yeah.
I didn't mind the guy.
The other closest would probably be Anguirus.
To, like, as just, like, a dinosaur?
Like, yeah, just a dinosaur.
Yeah. Anguirus. Manda kind of looks like a dinosaur, however, he's a bit more unique.
19 for you?
Maguma, who we've already talked about.
And for me, King Kong.
All right.
Okay. You can start me off. So why King Kong, Jasha?
King Kong's my number 26. What's he for you? You're number 19.
19. I was going to put him lower.
Yeah.
I feel this is a good middle space.
Yeah. I hate the guy in the Toho movies. He's so goofy and so annoying and not in a good way. Like, is this what people feel about Manila? Because I think, like, they do it so much better in Manila that he's, like, this goofy little stuff up.
Yeah. They've even done it a little bit with Rodan.
Yeah.
They're just, like, a silly character. But I think with him, because he's in, what, two movies?
King Kong? Yeah, two, and the suit looks very different both times. I don't know if the second one's a sequel.
I think it's because they seem to have done it unintentionally.
Really? Made him so goofy and weird?
Yeah.
Yeah. Because I don't remember him in the first one being all that goofy. You've got his island, who worship him,
mm-hmm.
and he comes every once in a while and drinks red juice.
Gets drunk
by
it. Just looks so stupid while doing it.
Yeah, and again, this was back in the, I think, like, King Kong vs. Godzilla was when Godzilla, the franchise, started to become a little goofy. But you do still have some moments in King Kong vs. Godzilla that are pretty cool. Like, when King Kong goes up against the giant octopus, that's not really goofy stuff. That's actually quite a scary, fun, like, fight. Cool-looking fight.
Enjoyable.
But then you've got all the weird stuff with Toho's King Kong. Just the weird, unexplainable stuff. Like, the fact that he's almost like this lightning god.
Yeah.
And like, lightning arrives when King Kong's near, and then he can get resurrected with lightning, then can shoot lightning out his fingertips. And
which it doesn't really explain until the fact. It's like Deus Ex Machina.
Yeah. And then all that's gone in King Kong Escapes. But then we're replaced with this, I don't even want to talk about the King Kong Escapes King Kong. There's just nothing redeemable about him. He's a big monkey.
King Kong's just like a silly little orangutan.
Yeah, and again, in the other King Kong stuff I've seen, like, I've seen Peter Jackson's King Kong. I've seen Kong Skull Island.
I've only seen Kong Skull Island, and I like it 1,000 times more.
But in those, he's kind of like the underdog, and you can kind of root for the guy. And again, he does have that humanity, or that human connection to people. There's always a woman that he gets infatuated by.
In this, he does that, but it's only with one woman?
And it's really weird. I just don't buy his humanity in these, and I don't understand why you'd root for him in these. But I don't know. Hopefully that'll change. I know that does change with King Kong's other movies, so I'm not writing off King Kong altogether, but Toho's version of him sucks.
I think it's because they were riding off the success of him in America.
Yeah.
So they're like, oh, quickly, let's make a King Kong movie.
Yeah, and they try to do a little twist like they did with Frankenstein by giving him this electricity and these other weird abilities. But
there's, like, I can name off the top of my head a few scenes where he's just stupid. Drinking the red liquid, he just has the worst sipping animation for his suit.
It's just the costume as well, eh?
The costume looks really weird.
And again, the half-human costume, actually looks a bit menacing. Like, they're both ape-like creatures. The half-human costume actually looks menacing, actually looks quite original. And Kong's one, just the face, the way the face moves.
The way the eyes move.
Yeah, it's just soulless. He's just a soulless idiot.
Who gets picked up by balloons constantly. He's tranked for most of the movies.
Yeah.
I'm really curious at what all you guys listening think about King Kong as well.
Yeah, and we do at the end have actually the top five from you guys. We got you guys, the listeners, to rank these kaiju that we've ranked as well. And I've got the top five from that, so we'll get into that after we've finished ours. Was that 20? No, that was 19.
That was 19. Up next, 18.
You're going to hate me. This is the one you're actually going to hate me for.
Jay, did you put Mogira?
No, I put Baragon number 18.
No, Jaysha.
Baragon making his first appearance in Frankenstein Conquers the World. A few more seconds in Destroy All Monsters. Yeah, he's my 18, but who's yours?
I put Kumonga.
The giant spider.
From Son of Godzilla.
Yeah, he's quite a bit higher on my list.
Mm-hmm. Kumonga is ranked lower than the Kamakura for me.
Kamakuras for you.
Yeah. Kamakuras. I think they're a much more menacing part of the film.
Mm.
Kumonga is played off as the big boss kaiju.
Yeah.
But he shows up right at the end after so much stuff has happened, including the Kamakuras.
Yeah.
That it seems almost like a little add-on.
Yeah.
A little bit like an afterthought.
He comes in the third act of Son of Godzilla.
Yeah. Isn't that, apart from being a spider kaiju, which is pretty cool, isn't that unique?
Yeah.
I mean, name Kumonga's powers for me, Jaysha.
He can shoot web from his mouth.
Mothra can do that.
He has a big old pincer that comes out of his mouth that he can use to kind of paralyze you for a few seconds.
So I just got a flashback to the scene where it paralyzes
Godzilla's face
from the ground.
Yeah. He also has multiple legs that he can reach far, far into cave systems. Wherever you're hiding, where his leg will find you.
He gets one person with him, I guess. Nah, I like Kumonga visually.
Mm.
This is another instance of too little, too late, I think.
Yeah.
If they set him up a bit more at the start of the film, he would have been cool. That said, I'd get an action figure of him.
Yeah. Yeah, I want an action figure of him too. I agree with you, he's not in it enough. But I really like what they do with the story for him. Like, you hear about it in Son of Godzilla, which we've talked about. You guys know I love Son of Godzilla, so I'm probably a bit biased when it comes to Kumonga as well. But they set up that he's got his Kumonga's, like, is it Kumonga's caves over there or Kumonga's homes over there? You don't want to disturb him. You hear about that early in the movie.
Because was Kumonga giant before the radiation or the weather?
I think he was a bit bigger, like the Kamakuras were. They were big to begin with, but they grew a lot bigger. So, yeah, we heard about Kumonga's home, and then we kind of forget about him for a bit. And then later on, people go near Kumonga's home and wake him up. And I really love the sequence of him waking up and initially coming after these two humans who awoke him, because they're trying to hide in a cave, and he's like trying to reach in, and he's spraying web on them. And it's quite a scary sequence. Everyone hates spiders. Like, I don't really hate spiders. If a spider comes by, I'm not going to get scared of it. I'll probably pick it up. But
guys, he's lying. But he's deathly afraid of them.
I don't mind spiders. But I mean, like,
if I turned into a spider. No, like, go down that thought track.
Let's say, if you turned and had a look at, like, your shoulder right now or your arm. Yeah. And saw an unrecognizable spider, you'd kind of be a little bit freaked out. Like, it's the same thing when you see a bee or a wasp on you. You're like, oh, these things might be able to hurt me.
Personally, no, but
really?
General, yeah, okay, I can see what you mean.
Yeah, so, I mean, spiders are a little bit scary to begin with, and I think it's just perfect creating this huge, legendary spider, giving him some real, like, almost horrible scenes.
Yeah.
Like, I like him, even though he's not in it for much. And again, he's in a Destroy All Monsters for a few seconds. Yeah. All he does is shoot web the whole time.
I think he's great in the fact that, as a kaiju, the idea of him is so cool. He'd be awesome if you brought him into the newer modern monsterverse and, like, turned it into a bit more of a horror. It'd be so cool.
Yeah.
They just need to take it a little bit farther for me.
They should do that. The next monsterverse should just be set on a random island with insects that grow large. Not even insects, just animals that have randomly grown large.
Son of Godzilla.
Let's do it.
Bring him back.
Let's do it.
I feel like that's a movie.
Yeah.
Is that the new Jurassic Park? Jurassic World? Locusts, you're talking about?
Oh, have you not seen the latest Jurassic World? Yeah. More like Locust World. Am I right? All right. Are we up to number 17?
17.
For number 17, I put Megan Nulon from Rodan.
And this is like the small insects that Rodan ends up eating.
Yeah, just small insect-like creatures, which we'll get into a bit later, but they're pretty scary again, kind of similar to why I like Kumanga.
I like them. I'll talk about them a bit later on too. 17 for me, Mechanicong.
Mechanicong?
Miles better than King Kong.
Yeah.
Right off the bat. I think we all can agree on that.
Yeah.
And it's the first case of Toho creating mechanical robot counterparts to original kaiju. And I just love how they take that ball and run with it in the future.
Yeah.
Like, how far do they go? I know there's Mecha King Ghidorah, Mecha Godzilla.
Yeah. Multiple different versions of Mecha Godzilla.
Oh.
Yeah, there's some good stuff coming up.
This is where it originated.
Mechanicon was the blueprint, you're right. And he... You don't really need much personality or uniqueness when it comes to a robot like this. Like, it's enough just to have this mindless metal monster that is just dangerous and kind of unstoppable.
Give it a pretty cool suit.
Yeah.
Build it up as something terrifying.
Yeah. And put him in some real cool, like, action sequences like that. I still, the most memorable part of King Kong Escapes for me is that big fight at the very end when they're on Tokyo Tower, is it?
So cool.
And Mechanicong, I can still picture him, like, up the top there, like, throwing things down at King Kong below him.
That's one of my favorite fight scenes.
Yeah.
I also love how the start of the movie, it kicks off with Mechanicong trying to go down into, like, the ice caves to get an element and immediately... Like being too weak to handle it and powering down.
Yeah.
So stupid. I love it. 16.
16, I put the Kamakuras.
Kamakuras.
Whoa. Hey. Matched back up for number 16. So these are the giant praying mantises in Son of Godzilla.
Did you not find these more terrifying than Kumanga?
I like both of them. Again, I really like the scenes with Kumanga when there's this real horror element to them and he's actually this real scary creature. Whereas a lot of the scenes I feel with the Kamakuras, they're played off more for fun than for horror. Like a lot of the scenes, they're batting rocks between them and throwing them at Manila. But again, they're still scary. When you first see this, the Kamakuras, and it's like, it's dark and you just see its eyes and it's the sound it makes as it's walking through the jungle.
No, that's the thing. I was going to say, I agree with you that they're played off more, a bit more fun when they're giant.
Yeah.
But when they are first small, I think that's more terrifying.
Yeah.
Because it's literally just these giant praying mantises with flashlights, essentially, for eyes. Just that starting scene, it sets the tone for them.
Yeah.
Real well.
They are still pretty scary. Yeah. And they're pretty cool. Like, I love that they went with praying mantises and spiders for the creatures to make giant. Because they're two pretty scary looking things to begin with.
Yeah.
And it just really heightens that and makes it so much scarier to make them kaiju.
And the fight scenes with them as well, there's so many moving limbs. They use a whole soundstage. They have some flying ones. They're able to rip them to shreds and throw off, what is it, like an arm of a Kamakura?
Yeah, they're just getting ripped apart. Across the soundstage.
It's great.
I also like that there's like a gang of them, that they stay in like a pack.
Yeah.
And there's not just like a single Kamakura that they go up against. It's like three of them that are completely wailing on Manila.
It's Manila's first battle.
Yeah.
And he loses.
He gets destroyed by the Kamakuras. I was doing a bit of research afterwards, or just while I was reading stuff up for Destroy All Monsters. But we completely missed it in the episode. Apparently, Kamakuras, one of them makes an appearance in Destroy All Monsters.
Really?
Very briefly. In one of the scenes with Kumanga, you can see a dead, webbed up Kamakuras. Oh. And it's one of the scenes they used in Destroy All Monsters from Son of Godzilla.
Yeah, the stock footage from the previous.
Yeah, but Kamakuras is like listed as one of the kaiju that appear in Destroy All Monsters just because of this mistake.
That's real cool. Okay, Joshua, 15.
15? We're getting up there. 15 is Mechanicong for me.
Right.
I like the guy. Way. He's 15. King Kong for me is 26. Like, there's a big difference.
Big gap. Up there for me is Anguirus.
Anguirus is that low for you?
Why do you like Anguirus so much? I'm assuming he's in the top 10 for you.
Yeah, he's way up there for me.
Why? Like, I agree. This is why he's higher than everything else for me. I like him. I like his design. He isn't that unique to me, though.
Really?
He's based off a dinosaur.
Yeah.
Probably more closely resembles one than Gorosaurus. Mm. I think his prevalence in the movie... The fire monster? What is it?
Godzilla raids again, but then he's also in the American remake, yeah, Gigantus the fire monster.
I think of him as Gigantus and I don't know why. he's got a real cool fight scene where Godzilla ends up biting his neck.
Yeah.
And they set up that that's where his brain is, and I think that's a real cool bit of world building there. Why is he high for you?
He just has a real unique physiology. Like, again, I just love that weirdness to do with how his insides work and how he works as a creature. But he does look like a dinosaur. He looks like a cool one, but then he's got all those added little extra parts, like the horns on his head, the multiple horns kind of making like a crown.
Yep. Spiky shells are always fun.
Yeah, real spiky shell. And then he's got that, like, real funny way his, like, back shell works when it's two flaps that kind of come apart at times.
And you can see the little zip.
Yeah, you can see the little zipper. I just like how he is, again, quite a scary, unique monster to go up against Godzilla in the sequel to the original movie.
Mm.
But then when they bring him back and kind of reinvent him a little bit, they right off the bat...
Later on, you mean?
Yeah, and destroy all monsters.
Yep.
Right away, they're like reinvigorate him with a bit more personality, and he gets a little bit of time to shine. He's in a few funny scenes with Rodan.
Yeah.
He actually... goes pretty crazy in the fight against Ghidorah, hangs on to him, is like hanging on for his life onto one of Ghidorah's necks. I have seen Anguirus in a few movies down the track, and that might be influencing me a little bit why he's so high, but yeah, I really love him. I really like him, and I think I said that way back when we talked about him initially, but I think he's cool looking. I mean, I had tons of dinosaur toys growing up, and just to have...
Did you have an Anguirus toy?
I think we did, yeah.
I think you did.
Yeah, I think we did. So just to have something that looks that cool and does get a bit of personality and is pretty unique coming to a Godzilla movie, I think it's great.
Number 14. I've got Meganulon.
Wow, okay. We've talked about it. I've got Dagora for my number 14. But Meganulon in Rodan.
I actually, in that movie, prefer the Meganulon over Rodan.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like 2/3 of the movie is the characters fighting the Meganulon.
Yeah, there's some real cool scenes with the Meganulon where we talked about it in Rodan, but it starts off very similar to like Aliens. Just real scary. A bunch of miners in a cave, they're just getting killed off and going missing. And then they find out that there's these eggs with like... Oh, no, it's an egg with Rodan, eh? But there's Meganulons just randomly in this cave.
In the mines, was it?
In the mines, yeah.
I love it because it gets flooded, the mines do, and all the characters end up going in there, and for a good solid like 20-30 minutes, things are slowly taking them one by one, and we have no clue what it is.
Yeah.
And me, not having seen this movie before, I was like, what the heck, this isn't Rodan.
Yeah.
Is it another one of the miners?
It was quite a cool surprise when watching Rodan, because I don't think either of us knew that these things were in it.
No.
And I know that they... return and an important part in Godzilla versus Megaguirus. Megaguirus is like the queen of the Meganulon.
Oh, really? Is that connection?
Yeah. So I have no clue that these things showed up all the way back then. Like, we had giant insects in one of the first Toho kaiju movies. And I remember the scene when it like breaks through the wall into this lady's house.
Yeah, into the normal house.
Yeah. I think she just had a bath or something. I can't really remember. But... it just breaks into this house and it's this real moment of terror. And it's just this cool scene.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, they're real cool.
I get that. Just the idea of a bunch of these giant insects just taking over this town.
Mm.
It's a really cool idea. And it's more memorable for me than Rodan is in his own film.
True. And again, they're not huge. Like, they're not as big as Rodan or Godzilla. Like, they're just bigger insects than normal.
And it allowed for some of those cool... little combat sequences where they're like pushing the minecarts into them.
Yeah, they're pushing minecarts into the Meganulons. Man, I want to watch Rodan again because of them. Number 13.
Is it time for a rewatch? are we watching it right now? Right now?
Number 13 for me, I have Gorosaurus. So he's pretty high for me.
Manda is higher for you, is he?
Manda?
Yeah.
Yeah. Huh. Was Manda your 13?
Yeah.
Manda.
I like Manda. I like Manda too.
He doesn't do much in Destroy All Monsters, but...
he wraps around. He wraps around a whole train bridge thing.
Yeah, and even just thinking back to Atragon, he doesn't do much in that. But again, I love these monsters that have a real cool story around them. And Manda's one of the ones that is the protector of this underwater civilization. Yeah. He's this really long serpentine dragon with horns and a mane and whiskers. And he looks really cool in his scenes when he's under the water. The puppet they use for him is real cool. Again, I just like him because he's unique. He's really unique. Yeah. Just have a creature like this as a monster in one of these films is really, really cool when you think about it.
Other than the giant sea monster.
Yeah. This is how you do a giant sea serpent.
You don't have any other snake-like creatures like this. And I keep thinking back to that scene in Atragon where they have no clue that Manda exists. And then is it the window opens up down in the... in the city that they kept in.
Yeah.
And they see its eye for the first time.
Yeah.
And it's like, you're going to be fed to the protector.
Yeah.
And they just open. Oh, that's a real cool way to set up just how pivotal of a monster is as a role in their own movie.
Yeah. Big time. Atragon's one of the movies I think would be like one of the only ones that I'd say, yeah, remake this movie.
Because they could do that really well, couldn't they?
Some of those scenes with, I can just imagine some of those scenes with Manda. And that would be so, so cool.
Yeah, there's so many elements in that movie. Like, it'd be enough to pad out a big film nowadays.
Yeah.
You could do it really well.
And even in Destroy All Monsters, just when they make him more snake-like, I kind of like that again, because there's just nothing else like him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just looking at my list. Manda was my number 12.
Manda was your number 12.
What was yours?
Jester, if you imagine in your head.
All right.
A salad.
What
are the main ingredients of salads? You've got your tomatoes, carrots, lettuces.
You got your mushrooms.
You got your mushrooms.
This is... Matango is your number 12.
Yeah.
Wow.
From the movie Matango.
Yep.
Reviewed by us and our good friend.
Bracca Nurse joined us to talk Matango. That was a really, really cool movie. I love Matango.
Cool idea for a kaiju. This is not one singular... not really one singular kaiju. It's an infectious fungus.
Kind of like a hive mind?
Yeah, a hive mind of these mushroom zombies that have infected the humans. Such a cool idea.
Yeah.
I also love how in the movie, it's played off almost as a psychological thriller.
Mm.
So at times you never really know if these things are real or made up or what the heck is happening.
People are just hallucinating. Yeah. That last sequence when you just see so many Matango and they're all making that real creepy, like, laughing noise.
The psychedelic scene?
Yeah. Everyone's infected. It's such a scary atmosphere. They're really, really cool. Like, they're really cool. Are we rewatching Matango right now? These things are great.
The fact that they were built up from a short story as well.
Yeah.
Were the actual Matango a part of that story?
Yeah, I think so. I can't remember, but I think they were affected by something, the people. I think they were affected by some sort of mushroom.
Yeah. It's such a cool spin on the zombie story because you have that hive mind aspect as well as a horror aspect.
Yeah.
As well as by the end, our main character gets infected or half infected.
Mm.
Who knows what's up with him? It's just a real cool, infectious kaiju. I don't think we see another one of it for a while.
Yeah.
Or period.
Man, I'm looking forward to seeing the Matango in Godziban or Godzilla Island or whatever they come into next.
Do you think you will get that Matango on a tricycle?
Oh, I still want that Matango on a tricycle. To tell you all the truth, there's a website called Buyee.
Buyee.
Buyee. And it like lets you buy things from Asian... like eBay, Amazon. when you're not in Japan or China or anywhere.
So it's like a VPN for...
Yeah, you can buy stuff through this site and they do all the contact for you and they make it really easy to communicate with the seller and get the product from wherever you're buying it from to you, wherever you are. And I have set up like weekly email that tells me the price of this Matanga on a tricycle.
Seriously? You haven't told me about this. Has this been going for pretty much a year now?
It's been going since we covered Matango. But then every week it's just like, oh, this thing's $400 NZ. This thing's $500 NZ. Man. I'm telling you, if it drops by a couple hundred, I'm going to be tempted.
That being said, Christmas is coming up.
Yeah.
If you want to give Jasher a pot on Christmas.
Please.
11.
11, I have Mogera.
Mogera.
Mogera, the robot alien kaiju from the Mysterians, who we talked about with Adam and Alex from the final draft.
I loved him when I saw him.
Yeah.
And he is next after this one, Ebira.
Ebira is your number 11?
11.
He was my number 20. You really like Ebira. I mean, it's your favorite.
I don't know why. I think there is something about the quality of the movie that influences the kaiju in it.
Yeah. I think it can't be helped.
And this movie, I think it's the highest rated one I have so far. I'm actually surprised it's not even in my top 10. I think it's... Look, I may be a bit of a hypocrite saying I hate these giant just animals. But hear me out. He's got different claws. Is he a lobster? Is he a shrimp? Nobody knows. He's a new thing. I think the reason I like him, I love his design.
Yeah.
One. Two, real cool underwater fight, which we haven't seen between kaiju.
Yeah.
Three, different claws which have different purposes.
Yeah.
Four, they don't really set the sky up, but you bring him in suddenly. He has one of the most epic fight scenes and leaves. Shad move.
Well, I really like how he works within the story as well. Like, you've got, are they the Red Bamboo?
Yep.
The Red Bamboo, like, terrorists that are staying on this island. And every time they want to leave the island or come back to the island, they need to spray the substance all over themselves to be able to get past Ebira, who's just like this absolute...
No, he was set up a little bit as just something that happens if you don't do that.
Yeah, it's just this horror of the deep, you know? Yeah. He's just going to destroy you if you don't make precautions or try and stop him.
Like, the movie's named after him. He shows up for a fight scene.
I think he's in a couple fight scenes.
But, like, one continuous fight scene.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm judging these kaiju by a few factors. One, their designs.
Yeah.
Two, personalities. Three, movie. Four, if I could picture them as a little miniature on my desk.
Having one as a collectible is one of the main factors for you.
I would love an Ebira collectible.
You love
it to me.
Ebira collectible, but there's 10 more you would like more than collectibles going into the top 10.
That's right.
Shoot, there's a lot more monsters to cover than we first realized, so we thought that we'd break this up a little bit and release our top 10 as a separate episode or a part 2 following this one in 2 weeks' time. Hope you've all enjoyed listening. We've been loving our season break at the moment. We're skiing, we're searching for the snowman over in the Japanese Alps, but we can't wait to be back soon. As always, huge thanks to Cassie Celine and Decora9898 who do all of our awesome, awesome artwork for us every episode. And if you haven't already, be sure to follow the link in the show notes or on our socials to join our Discord community. And we'll catch you guys soon.